While reading today's gospel to prepare for this sermon, a memory of an adventure of my childhood came back. I've read this gospel many times, but I now remember this event I'm about to tell you. This happened when I was about 14. My parents wanted to take us from our cottage on the Huron River in Huron, Ohio, on a boat trip to Pelee Island, Ontario, Canada. The trip was around 42 miles via my dad's 18-foot boat. The trip over was very nice and uneventful. For those of you that don't know, Lake Erie is a very shallow lake of only about 62 feet. We had a nice day at the island and left to head to Cedar Point Marina for supper, then back to the Huron River and our cottage up the river about 6 miles or so. We're not far from the island when the lake started to have some swells. The swells started to get very large, and soon we were seeing water just on both sides of our boat while we were in the bottom of the swell. About halfway to Cedar Point, the Pelee Island steamer was heading to the island. This steamer was very large and painted black and reminded me of a smaller version of the Titanic. There were people on the deck looking down at us as we were bobbing up and down in the swells. We made off to Cedar Point and had our supper, then headed towards Huron. We made it despite the rough seas. We had faith in my dad's ability to get us home. I tell you this because the Sea of Galilee is also a very shallow lake and is about 700 feet below sea level. And because of this, hot air rises from the lake's surface and the cool air comes down from higher elevations, and it's also wanting to change places with the warmer air. This action frequently results in high winds and waves that can top 30 feet. Archaeologists digging on the north shore of the sea found the remains of a boat from the time period of this gospel reading. It is doubtful that this is the boat the apostles were in. Nevertheless, it gives us a good idea of what the boats were like back then. The boat measured 26.5 feet long, 7.5 feet wide, and 4.5 feet high. You can imagine how the boat was bouncing around in high waves. I have empathy on how the apostles felt in that small boat, going up and down in the swells and waves. Jesus and his apostles left the western shore to go to the eastern shore after a long, tiring day of teaching crowds of people. A reminder here for you is that the eastern shore is the Gentile side. Jesus must have fallen asleep shortly after they sailed away from the shoreline. After all, he was human and got tired like the rest of us. The wind suddenly picked up, and the little boat started to bounce in the heavy seas. The apostles started to panic and woke Jesus. They were afraid of losing their lives. They had no faith that Jesus would take care of them, even while he slept in the back of the boat on a cushion. Jesus woke and in his divinity rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." It was a small boat that carried the humanity of Jesus, but it was the power of the Godhead that carried the boat and all those who were in it. When Jesus calmed the sea, he was acting God acts. He was evoking godly powers by doing godly work. You may find as you read this gospel that there are some similarities between Mark's story and the story of Jonah. Each story has a journey towards Gentile territory. A great storm endangers the boat and threatens to sink it. And there's a great fear of the boat's passengers. And lastly, Jesus and Jonah are asleep in the stern. There's a sharp disapproval or criticism of many of the main characters. The principal characters take action in calming the waters. Jesus calmed the sea, while Jonah asked to be picked up and thrown into the sea, and that calmed the sea in his story. While preparing this sermon, I ran across something St. Augustine said in one of his sermons. When you have to listen to abuse, that means you are being buffeted by the wind. When your anger is roused, you are being tossed by the waves. So when the wind blows and the waves mount high, the boat is in danger. Your heart is imperiled. Your heart is taking a battering. On hearing yourself insulted, you long to retaliate. But the joy of revenge brings with it another kind of misfortune, shipwreck. St. Augustine of Hippo, who lived from 354 to 430, tells us this happens because Christ is asleep in us, meaning that we have forgotten his presence. We should wake him up and remember him and let him keep watch within us. We need to pay heed to him. When a temptation arises, it is the wind. It bothers us. It is the surging sea. This is when we should awaken Christ and let him remind us of these words. Who can this be? Even the winds and the sea obey him. After Jesus rebuked the waves, the apostles were amazed and asked, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. So far in Mark's gospel, Jesus has healed a man with an unclean spirit. He healed Simon's mother-in-law, and later he healed many after her. Later he healed a leper, then a paralytic. Then he healed a man with a withered hand. Yet the apostles still didn't understand who Jesus was. These miracles are called healing miracles. Thomas, after hearing that Jesus had risen from the grave, did not believe it. He said, unless I see the hands and the marks of the nails and place my fingers in the mark of the nails and place my hand in his side, I will never believe. Then 8 days later, Thomas sees Jesus and says, my Lord and my God. Jesus responded, blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed. Mark's gospel shows us the apostles did not demonstrate any faith in Jesus. They had witnessed many healings and non-healing miracles that Mark had written in his account of the gospels. Non-healing miracles would include the feeding of the 5,000 in Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 44. Jesus is walking on the water in Mark 6, 45 to 52. Jesus fed the 4,000 in Mark 8, 1 to 10. And the curse to the fig tree in Mark 11, 12 to 13. None of the miracles were enough to convince them. Our takeaway from this gospel reading today is one. Only God has power over the seas and storms. Psalm 107, verse 29 to 32 says, he made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Number two, this story can be seen as a type of epiphany story, that Jesus is revealed as God incarnate. His identity continued to become clearer all the way to Peter's confession in chapter 8, verse 29. Number three, it took a lot for the disciples to realize who Jesus was. They had no Bible other than the Old Testament. We are blessed to have the Bible and to be able to share it with others. Number four, there are two motives in this gospel reading. We have the calming of the storm and the relation of Jesus to his disciples who still didn't get it. They didn't understand the nature of Jesus, but were still protected from shipwreck despite their lack of faith. One final note in my reading from the interpretation, a Bible commentary for the teaching and preaching of Mark. The corporate dimension of this text's significance is embodied in an early Christian symbol adopted by the World Council of Churches at its formation during the dark days of World War II. The Church Universal is depicted as a storm-tossed boat with a cross for a mast. The stilling of the storm continues to reassure the church in every time of persecution and distress that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is ruler of nature and history, and that he is present with his disciples in their anxiety. Let us all keep the faith and share it with our friends and neighbors. Gregory the Great said, "Faith is the proof of what cannot be seen. What is seen gives knowledge, not faith." Amen.